the consumerist world into the kind of rotting chaos behind it.
The return of great lives.
Philip K. Dick was clearly on some kind of a quest, a search. There was a point to what he was doing.
This Tuesday afternoon at 4:30 on BBC Radio 4.
This is BBC Radio 3, 90 to 93 FM on digital radio. You can also listen to us live online. Just gone 1 o'clock and in a couple of minutes, today's early music show. First, though, the BBC News read by David Cornett.
A decision on whether to approve a controversial high-speed rail link between London and Birmingham is being delayed until mid-January. The Department of Transport says it needs more information on whether an extra £500 million could be used to pay for a tunnel through the Chiltern Hills. The tunnel would connect two others which are already planned and could lessen the potential scarring of an area designated as one of outstanding natural beauty. The Church of England has told its ministers not to carry out civil partnership ceremonies between same-sex couples in their churches without the permission of the full church parliament, the General Synod. The guidance comes ahead of a change in the law which allows such services to be conducted in places of worship from Monday. A charity has called for more support for victims of so-called honour-based violence. The Iranian and Kurdish Women's Rights Organisation says there were nearly 3,000 cases in the UK last year in which people, mostly women, were attacked for allegedly bringing shame on their families. The Anglo-Dutch oil firm Shell is halting its operations in Syria. The company is complying with new EU sanctions which have been imposed because of the violent suppression of anti-government protests. It also says it has to consider the safety of its staff. The authorities in Burma are to permit public demonstrations for the first time. A new law requires protesters to seek approval from local authorities at least 5 days in advance of any demonstration, although tough security laws, which have been used to repress protests in the past, will remain in place. Western nations are urging the Burmese government to increase its democratic reforms. David Cameron has reiterated his support for the removal of trade union officials from the payrolls of public sector organisations. He made the comments in a letter to the Tory MP Aidan Burley, who's launched a campaign to highlight the issue. And the weather, there'll be blustery showers in the northwest of the UK with some snow in the Scottish Highlands. Elsewhere, it'll be windy but mostly dry with some sunny spells. BBC News and weather at 1:03.
And it was read by David Cornett. Well, now on Radio 3, the first of this weekend's early music shows. It's introduced by Lucy Skeeping.
Hello. On today's programme, highlights from several concerts recorded in June in the historic city of Regensburg in Germany. The Regensburg Early Music Days Festival has been running since 1984 and continues to attract some of the world's top soloists and ensembles who perform in its many concert halls and churches. And we're going to start in one of those churches, in Sankt Emmeram, a Romanesque basilica which was part of the old monastery that stood on the site from the year 739. You can still walk through the remains of the cloisters, and although, as you might expect, the place has undergone some pretty drastic redesigning and rebuilding over the centuries, a colourful medieval ceiling painting is still in place above the west transept, its central panel depicting St Benedict surrounded by angels. And it was here that one of Germany's most respected early music ensembles gave their concert, Concerto Köln, directed by Markus Hoffmann. They were joined by the Regensburg Cathedral Choir, along with a host of top soloists, to perform two Bach cantatas and his Magnificat. But we're going to hear the work that opened their programme, Bach's Concerto for Oboe d'Amore, Strings and Continuo in A. The soloist is Benoît Laurent.
Thank you.
Applause for the oboist Benoît Laurent, with Marcus Hoffman directing Concerto Köln in that performance of Bach's Concerto for Oboe d'Amore, Strings and Continuo in A. It was recorded in June as part of the annual Regensburg Early Music Days Festival in Germany. Well, we're dipping our ears into several of the festival concerts in today's programme, and we move on next to Regensburg's Scottish Church of St James. Standing beside one of the medieval city gates, St James's was part of a monastery that was set up during the Middle Ages by Irish and Scottish missionaries. So a change of venue and a change of musical style as well. Stephen Rice's Brabant Ensemble was formed in the UK, but they're in great demand all over the world, especially for their performances of Franco-Flemish polyphony. They sang pieces by early English and Spanish composers at their concert. Taverner, Peñalosa, Morales, Guerrero, Tallis, and even music by Henry VIII. In fact, the piece I've chosen is by a Flemish composer, Philip van Wilder, who spent most of his career working at Henry VIII's court, first as a minstrel, then as a lutenist and teacher to the future Edward VI. Van Wilder may not have been a true Englishman, but by the time of Henry's death in 1547, he'd risen up the ranks to become keeper of the instruments and effectively head of the Royal Instrumental Musical Establishment, a post that was later known as Master of the King's Music. So here's the Brabant Ensemble with one of Van Wilder's motets, Aspice Domine.
Thank you.
Behold, Lord, for the city once full of riches is made desolate. The motet Aspice Domine by Philip van Wilder, performed by the Brabant Ensemble, directed by Stephen Rice, part of a concert given last summer at St James's Scottish Church in Regensburg. Well, if you leave St James and you walk northwest through the old town, you reach the ancient stone bridge, a marvel of medieval engineering that stretches for some length across the River Danube, supported by 16 huge curved arches. And if you manage to drag yourself past the famous 12th century sausage shop, one of the tastier highlights of the tourist trail, I'm told, it's a short walk to Regensburg's main theatre, where we meet our next group, the Harmony of Nations Baroque Orchestra. These 20 or so musicians got together in 2004 when they were on tour with the European Union Baroque Orchestra. So they're an exciting, vibrant young band. And that mood's certainly captured in this suite of dances by Jean-Ferry Rebel that we're going to hear them play now. There's a prelude, a courante, a minuet, a bourrée, a chaconne, a saraband, keep up, a gigue, a rigodoon, a passepied, a gavotte, a sonata, a lure and a musette. Certainly enough to keep even the nimblest of French courtiers on his toes, and all squeezed into just 7.5 minutes. A suite written for the court of Louis XIV by Jean Ferry Rebel and played there by the Harmony of Nations Baroque Orchestra, directed by Alfredo Bernardini. You're listening to The Early Music Show with me, Lucy Skeeping, and on today's programme we're enjoying highlights from six different concerts, all recorded in Regensburg last June, part of the city's annual Early Music Days Festival. And we've more sacred music now from our very own ensemble of young British singers, Stile Antico. Their concert venue was Regensburg's Dominican Church, a huge Gothic building dating from the 1200s and packed with murals and tombs. And if you ask nicely, you can even get to see the original teaching desk that belonged to the church's 15th century prior, St. Albertus Magnus. Compared with all that, then, the music we're going to hear seems positively modern. Stile Antico's programme marked this year's 400th anniversary of the death of the Spanish composer Victoria by focusing largely on Spanish polyphony. There was music by Victoria and by some of his contemporaries, and also this motet composed by one of Victoria's most influential predecessors, Cristobal de Morales, who spent much of his career both in the cathedral in Toledo and in the Vatican Choir in Rome.
Thank you.
stile antico in that performance of the motet Jubilate Deo by the 16th century Spanish composer Cristobal de Morales, recorded at the beautiful Gothic Dominican church in Regensburg in June. And so on to another of the city's historic places of worship for the next concert, which was recorded at the 14th century St Oswald's Church, which sits proudly on the banks of the Danube. The performers this time are the Canadian group Ensemble Caprice, who are celebrating their 10th anniversary year. They're based in Montreal, and their director, Matthias Mauter, has carved out a really unique niche for them on the North American early music circuit. They have a really fun kind of vibe. They bring a fantastic energy to the music they play, so you should enjoy this. It's a real roller coaster ride of a performance. Symphony Capricieuse by Telemann. As I'm sure you'll agree, the ensemble lives up to its name by playing it very, well, capriciously.
Thank you.
Rousing applause there for a very capricious performance of Telemann's Symphonie Capricieuse in G, given by Ensemble Caprice from Canada. It was recorded at St Oswald's Church in Regensburg over the summer. Well, our last concert in today's programme was given by Ensemble Pellaro from Switzerland. And it was certainly suited to its surroundings, Regensburg's Gothic Minoritenkirche, part of a former Franciscan monastery in the old town that's now a museum. They perform 14th and 15th century Italian music, anonymous liturgical pieces from Bologna, Faenza, Rome, Modena, Parma, and this gloriously simple Florentine madrigal by the appropriately named composer Paolo da Firenze.
Sicura, grande, e
Godi Firenze, a madrigal from 15th century Florence, and the final piece of a concert given in June in Regensburg by the Swiss group Ensemble Pellaro, directed by Lorenza Donadini. And that ends today's Early Music Show of highlights from the 2011 Regensburg Early Music Days Festival in Germany. I hope you'll join me next time.
Today's Early Music Show was presented by Lucy Skeeping and produced in Manchester by Les Pratt. And on tomorrow's programme, Catherine Bott profiles the woman who inspired Domenico Scarlatti to write his 550 or so keyboard sonatas, the Queen Consort of Spain, Princess Maria Barbara. Do tune in for that if you can. Same time tomorrow, just after the 1 o'clock news.
Dickens at 200. Books on the BBC.
It will be the best of times and it will be the best of times. Join me, Ian McMillan, on BBC Radio 3 as The Verb pays its own birthday tribute to Charles Dickens from the Radio Theatre in London, a celebration of Dickens's work and the art of reading it aloud, with some of the best-loved passages from his work performed as he did in front of gasping and cheering crowds. The best of Dickens, in story and song. Please, sir, can I have some more? The Verb, next Friday night at 10 o'clock on BBC Radio 3.
Well, if you've recently tuned in, a very good afternoon to you from me, Jonathan Swain, this being Saturday here on Radio 3. Later on, we've jazz and opera on 3. In fact, the opera is the first of this year's season of Live from the Met, a performance direct from New York's Metropolitan Opera House of one of Handel's finest operas, Rodelinda. And what a cast, too. It includes soprano Renee Fleming as Queen Rodelinda and countertenor Andreas Scholl as her husband. Handel expert Harry Bickett conducts. And curtain up here on Radio 3 is at 5:30 this afternoon, which means Jazz Record Requests is a little earlier than usual at 4:30. It's 2 o'clock and now a second chance to hear last Monday's lunchtime concert from Wigmore Hall in London. It was introduced by Louise Fryer.
Cellist Colin Carr claims to have been a terrible pupil and a bad listener, which makes his rich and varied career all the more remarkable. He's appeared as a soloist with prestigious orchestras in the UK and America, performed at the proms, and made numerous recordings both as a soloist and as a member of the Golob Kaplan Carr Trio and the Ensemble Sequenza. St John's College, Oxford, created the post of musician in residence for him, and since 2002 he's been a professor at Stony Brook University in New York. In recent seasons, Colin Carr and his duo partner Thomas Sauer have performed cycles of Beethoven's complete works for cello and piano, Going Down a Storm in the US, and it's an all-Beethoven programme they have for us today, including sonatas in A, Opus 69, and D, Opus 102, Number 2. If you think you know what to expect from Beethoven's music, in terms of dramatic tension at least, then his cello sonatas may come as something of a surprise. He wrote 5 in all, the first in 1796 when he was in his 20s, and the final pair almost 2 decades later. And while each has its own character, they share a mellifluous, essentially lyrical style. That said, the A major sonata, composed in 1807, around the same time as the Fifth Symphony, has a scherzo as its central movement, though a serene adagio leads into the finale, and it starts gently too, the theme of the opening resembling an aria from Bach's St. John Passion, which itself contained a part for viola da gamba. Beethoven may have come across manuscripts of Bach's music when they were circulating around Vienna. Before we hear that sonata, Colin Carr and Thomas Sauer begin their recital with a set of variations on a theme taken from Mozart's The Magic Flute, by Mannheim, welche Liebe fühlen. In Men Who Feel Love, a good heart is not lacking. The piano takes on the role of Pamina, and the cello is Papageno. And to play those parts, here come the two performers onto the Wigmore stage, cellist Colin Carr and pianist Thomas Sauer.
Thank you.
Thank you.